After all, the announcements, we'll turn in our hymn books again to the hymn number 389. Hymn number 389, we'll keep our seats and your offering for the Lord's work will be received. Hymn number 389 on the page 334. Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. 389, and the page is 334. We'll keep our seats for the opening verses, please. We're going to stand, we're going to sing verses 4 and 5. This is a beautiful hymn, tremendous words. Maybe you're not so familiar with it. You've got the tune now after two verses. Let's really give it all we've got. Say in my part of the world, give it welly. That just means plenty of oomph. It's verse 4 and 5. Never a heartache and never a groan. Never a teardrop and never a moan. Never a danger, but there on the throne, moment by moment, he thinks of his own. Tremendous words. Let's stand and let's sing these last two verses and let's really sing it unto the Lord. Verses 4 and 5. So we're turning back again to Nehemiah, please, chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11. You will have forgiven me, I trust, for not reading all those Hebrew names, making a hash of what I did read. Good job, Mr. Armstrong wasn't here this morning. He was my Hebrew lecturer. He'd been ashamed and said all his work was in vain. However, it's a skilled art that I don't have. But let's come before the Word of God and come to the throne of grace before we come to God's Word, and let's seek God's help in a word of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come ourselves around the Word of God this morning. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that as we come to Thy Word, we do not come before a dead book. We do not, Lord, come before a book that has no impact or no relevance to us today. For Lord, we thank Thee today that this book is up to date. This book is very relevant, relevant in all generations. Lord, what You had to say in generations past through Thy Word, Lord, You still have to say to our generation, to us today. Heavenly Father, we pray therefore that You'll come and speak to us out of Thy precious Word. And we pray, Lord, that You will make this Word live in our hearts. We ask, O God, that by faith and by the application of the Spirit of God, Lord, that we'll hear Thy voice today. Heavenly Father, to this end, we ask that You'll hide us far behind the cross. Help us, Lord, to hear Thy Word. Help us, Lord, to see Thee only. And Lord, through it all, may Thy name be honored and glorified. So answer prayer. Continue on with us now. Give us help to preach and help to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Chapter 11 today, as we come to it in our studies, very much takes up where chapter 7 left off. Back in chapter 7, we saw about Nehemiah going about the task of seeking to bring people back into the city. The walls had been rebuilt, the gates had been restored, but there was now the need to bring people back into the city. There had been the rebuilding, there was the restoration, followed by the revival, and now there was the need for the repopulation again of the city. And as we go through this chapter and these closing chapters of Nehemiah, you will still see the desire, the vision, and the burden that Nehemiah had to see the work of God advance and to see the work of God go forward. Now, the whole entire sequence of events is very important. Nehemiah, way back in chapter 1, took that step of faith. He walked by faith. He worked by faith. He built by faith. And he saw the hand of the Lord's blessing upon the people as they were restored. And as a result, this led to an even greater desire to see God's blessing upon the work of God and to see the population of the work grow numerically. In between chapter 7 and chapter 11, there was a month of celebrations, the observing of the various feasts in the city, much of what has been the focus from chapter 8 onwards. But now the task of repopulating and growing and establishing the work of God even further comes to the fore again in chapter number 11. Because you see, what has been happening in the intervening chapters from chapter 7 now to chapter 11 is that God has been preparing the hearts of the people for the work that was yet to do. The reviving of the heart and the life that we have been looking at over the past number of weeks, the rededicating of lives afresh to the Lord, would now make the task that lay before Nehemiah all the easier. Hearts were impacted, hearts were challenged, and hearts were changed and softened by the Word of God. God had worked in the hearts of so many who had been in Jerusalem during the time of these feasts. The revival, as we saw last week, then led to the rededication of people giving their lives afresh to the Lord in sacrifice. But still, workers were needed. And as God had prepared the heart by doing his own work in and through the people, now Nehemiah issues the challenge to the people to rise up and work. Because the walls having been rebuilt, the gates having been repaired, they now needed to be protected. And the witness of the city now needed to be established. And so we have entitled our message for this morning, Workers Wanted. Because that's exactly what is the theme of Nehemiah chapter 11. I want you to see, first of all, with me here as we make our way through this chapter today, I want you to see the survey of the population. There is a survey given to us of the population because as we go through this chapter, which I will be honest with you is a hard enough chapter to try to summarize and break down, yet as I go through this chapter, and especially in the first few verses, I believe there is a survey, a summary given of the population. It has been estimated by Bible commentators and historians that some 50,000 people had returned at this time from Babylon. But not all had dwelt at Jerusalem. Not all had went to the place where they or their forefathers had left. Not all returned to the place where they should have been. Notice there are two main groups here as we think of this survey. There is, first of all, the residents. In verse number 1, in verse 4 and in verse 6 especially, we have record of those who dwelt at Jerusalem. Here were people who were already in the place where they should have been. They were resident in Jerusalem. They had returned back to the place that they or their forefathers had left. They were in the right place and they were with the right people. Here were people who dwelt at Jerusalem. Here were people who had realized their duty, who had realized their responsibility, that it was to be their dwelling place. They were to be resident there in the holy city. They knew that they must be an integral part of the work of God there. And you'll see from verse 11 that some of them, verse number 1, sorry, that some of them were rulers, great men of society, and yet they did not despise the things of God. And others as well, they were physically present in the place where God wanted them to be. God wanted them to be in the holy city, to be where God would place his honor and his glory. And they did not neglect their duty or their place of service, but rather they dwelt there. You know what a lesson that is for us. Because these people were physically, literally present in the place where God wanted them to be. In that place where God would show his glory. You see, folks, never underestimate the importance and the value of being physically present in the place where God wants us to be. You take this day, God's day, the Lord's day, the Sabbath day. Where is it that we should be on the Sabbath day? In God's house. As health allows and permits, this is where we must be. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We are to be physically present in God's house on God's day. Thank God for all those who are faithful. Thank God for all those who are here when the doors of this church are open Sunday morning and Sunday evening. When the prayer meeting is convened during the week, thank God for those who are there and faithful and who never miss. Your physical presence in God's house is so vital and so important. You may think that you have nothing to offer to God. You may think you have nothing that you can do for God. However, your very presence, sitting amongst the people of God in the house of God week after week, is such a vital ministry.
Your seat being occupied every week is so vital. It will be a blessing to your soul. It'll be an example to your children to teach them the importance of faithfulness in the house of God. You being here this morning, you coming back again tonight, you being in the prayer meeting. Those are vital ways that we can show how important, how serious we take the work of God. Never underestimate the importance of simply being in God's house every week. There was the residence. But as we survey this population as well, there were the reluctance. Because not all were in the place where they should be. Those people we have mentioned already were in the center of God's will, but there were those who were living outside the will of God. They didn't want to commit themselves to the work of God. They didn't want to live in Jerusalem. Maybe Jerusalem wasn't attractive enough. It didn't have the prestige of other places. It didn't have the prominence and the preeminence. It was easier and more convenient just to live outside the work and the will of God. Verse 1 speaks about the rest of the people. And the reluctance, because it tells us that Nehemiah had to seek to encourage them to be a part of the work, to take up the work and to come and dwell in the city. They were reluctant to fully commit to the work of God in the city, and so they had to be drafted in order to populate the city, in order to reinforce the work and to fortify the defenses. These people were brought in by way of casting lots. This ensured impartiality. It allowed no room for complaining or favoritism. The whole arena and subject of casting lots in the Old Testament, it shows and it demonstrates a way of trusting in God. I leave with you one verse in Proverbs 16, in the verse 33, it says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." And get behind the work. Well, they should have been behind the work already. But they chose the easy option. They chose the easy life outside of the city. They were reluctant to fully commit. They were living outside the will of God. And they were unwilling to be a part of the work. It is sad. It is sad when God's people dwell outside God's will for their life. It is sad when God's people are unprepared to be fully committed to the work of God. Because you know what that does? That puts even more pressure on those who are fully committed. Oh, today, don't be a reluctant worker and witness for the Lord. But rather, with a ready hand and a willing heart, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Put your heart and your soul into the work of God. Throw your lot in with the work of God here in this congregation. Don't stand in the sidelines, but rather get onto the pitch and work for the Lord. So there's the survey of the population. But as we come into verse number 2, I want you to see now the sacrifice of the people. Because in verse 2 we read of those who were that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Here were a group of people who were prepared to sacrifice. Here were a group of people who were prepared to give up where they were living and to throw their lot in with the people of God and the work of the city in Jerusalem.
When the call went out for volunteers to come and to take up the work of God and to support the work and to commit to the work, they went readily and willingly, without argument, and without debate, without having to think about it, they readily sacrificed their lives to do what they could to support the work of God. They willingly offered themselves. They sacrificed their lives to do the work of God. We've already seen that there were those who were unwilling, those who preferred the easy option, living on the sidelines, living on the periphery of the work. And you know, folks, that is very sad, because such people see their salvation as being cheap. Such people see their salvation as being of little value. They take all from God but give little of anything back to Him. Those who see so little of value in the work of God, they see so little of value in the work of salvation. The one who sacrificed all for them at the cross when He died and gave His life, yet they won't sacrifice anything for God. Too deep down into this world, too happy to be at ease in Zion, not interested in the services of public worship, not concerned enough to get to the place of prayer. It's sad. But thank God for those who, like these people in verse number 2, willingly offered themselves. They offered their lives a sacrifice. This meant that things were going to change for them. They had to leave where they were. They had to come now and dwell at Jerusalem. There was change. They had to give up their pleasant conditions in this where they were to move to the city. Yet they went readily and willingly. They held nothing back from God. In Exodus chapter 35, we read there of the preparation that was made for the erection of the tabernacle there in the wilderness. God had given the instructions to Moses as to how the tabernacle was to be built, the materials that were needed, the work that was needed. And Moses unburdened his heart before the people. And Moses, in Exodus chapter 35, you take time to read it, as he relayed to the people what God had told him, as soon as Moses had finished speaking, we read there in verse 22 that the people, with a willing heart, offered themselves to do the work of God. Moses, as God's servant, had relayed to the people what God had given to them, God had given to him. The structure, the outlay of the tabernacle, all the various materials that were needed. And the people willingly said, "We will do the work of God." They offered themselves. They didn't have to be coerced, like these people in verse number 2 of Nehemiah chapter 11. They didn't have to be forced or cajoled into it. They offered themselves. They saw it as the very least they could do. They said, "Lord, here am I, use me in whatever way you want me." It was those very thoughts that were uppermost, I believe, in the mind of the great evangelist Noel Grant when he wrote that hymn, "Go Through with God." "Thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay." He said, "The price is high and severe the test. For those who will enjoy God's best, surrender all, then take the road with those who will go through with God." Here were a people who offered themselves willingly to do something for God. They were prepared to step out for God and to sacrifice their all for the Lord. You see, the problem is today that too many are willing to step out for the world. Too many are willing to stand up for the things of sin. Oh, the devil is no problem in finding recruits for his cause and his campaign. But sadly, the work of God goes understaffed and not enough willing recruits to step up to the mark and to step out for God. Too many are too happy to take God's salvation, take Christ as their Savior, and yet not yield their lives in service and sacrifice for Him. Dear believer, today, don't hold back from God. Don't be prepared to live on the sidelines, but rather get involved, get active, and do what you can for the Lord. Because if the Lord is worth anything, He is worth everything. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. In that great treatise that he wrote in his book to the church at Rome. And after spending so much time there speaking and discussing the great doctrines of salvation, justification, redemption, the great atoning work of Christ, and as he finishes off that tremendous section, detailing and listing all that we have in Christ, what does he say? As he comes into verse number 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore. He says, I beseech you on the basis of what Christ has done for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. He details the doctrine, and then he declares the duty. And the two always go hand in hand. Present your life to God, a sacrifice. That's what these people did here in verse 2. They willingly offered themselves. If there's someone here today and you've been holding back from God, you've got away from God, and you've allowed other things to come and take you away from Him, well, today come back to Him and present your life a living sacrifice. There is the survey of the population. There is the sacrifice of the people. But I want you to see further here with me now the service of the persistent. Because those willing workers, those who came, those who were already there, they came to work. Especially those who came back to Jerusalem, who came away from where they were and came to the city. They didn't come for a life of ease. They didn't come for a life of laziness. They came back to the city to work because there was a work to do. Yes, the walls had been rebuilt and the gates had been repaired, but there was still more work to be done. There was still a work to get on with. There was a work and a service for the Lord. And folks, you will never run out of work in the work of God. There will always be something to do in God's work. In this service, there was diversity. Some were governors. Some were looking after the affairs of the city. Some were soldiers. You read in some of the verses there about the valiant men. And they guarded the city. Others, according to verse 19, they kept the gates. Some were rulers in the house of God itself. Others, according to verse 16, looked after the business affairs of the church. The outward business of the house of God, as it's referred to there in verse number 16. The day-to-day running of the work of God. Some, according to verse 17, led in public worship and praying. Others came from Judah to dwell and to work in the city and to take up their place in the worship as well. In verse 23, we read of the singers. Here was a diversity of different services that were offered. Never say there is nothing you can do for the Lord. Never say that there is nothing that you can offer to the Lord. Because when you offer your life as sacrifice to Him, there will always be plenty to do. And God uses a diversity of people with a diversity of different abilities to do His work. I've said in the past, and I'll keep saying it, this was not Nehemiah's pet project. This was the work of God. Yes, Nehemiah was to the forefront of it, but this was God's work. And God was pleased to use his people, willing people, surrendered people, people to do his work. And in this diversity, and there is a vast diversity of occupations and jobs mentioned there in chapter 11. But in this diversity, we see the need for all different types of people to be involved in the work of God. Practically, prayerfully. Being involved in whatever way you can. There is diversity in this service, but there's also dedication in their service. Because here were people who gave themselves afresh to the Lord. Here were people who dedicated and devoted their lives to his service. They didn't sit back and look at the walls and say, well, that's a great work. Rest on their laurels. They didn't say, well, that's enough to be getting on with. They worked. And they continued to work. They got on with the work. They were prepared to work, and they were persistent in the work. The hymn writer said, there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Work for Jesus day by day. There's a work that we all can do. And your work for the Lord will be different to my work. The place where you can serve the Lord will be different to the place where I can serve the Lord. You will reach people that I or this church will never be able to reach. And you will be able to minister to people that no church or congregation will be able ever to minister to. We are to be his workers. And we are to be his witnesses. These people were dedicated to the work. Will you rise to that challenge today? And will you dedicate your life afresh to the Lord to get back to the work and to stay at the work, to rise up and work for God? That's the great need today. Willing, ready, dedicated and devoted followers of Christ. Satan and his recruits are marching ever stronger today. It's high time. It's past high time that the Church of Jesus Christ rise up and take their stand. And let's take the very battle to the gates of hell itself. Just after war was declared back in 1914, Lord Kitchener, who already was a highly regarded military figure, he became Secretary of State for the war. And his first task was to rally support for the war effort. Not only to rally people to enlist in the army, but also to rally support in whatever practical way people could. And to support the effort, there was the publication of that iconic poster, which showed Lord Kitchener with that large pointing finger and the caption, "Your country needs you. Enlist and join the army." And today the work of God needs you, believer. Needs workers. Needs those who are ready and willing to roll up their sleeves and get involved. And how will you respond? Will you just opt for the easy life? Let others get on with the work and take it from there. Or will you today, like those people that we read of in verse number 2, will you willingly offer yourself to the Lord? Will you rise up and work and see the work of God advance and see his kingdom extended, borders enlarged? But don't give to the Lord empty, idle hands. But rather use what the Lord has given to you to further and to advance his cause and his work. You say, I really can't do very much. Well, as we noticed last week, you can be faithful. And we come back to where we started. Start by being faithful constantly, continually in God's house. The work of God needs workers. And therefore, may we all present to the Lord our lives a living sacrifice. Don't hold back from God. C.T. Studd gave up a promising career in professional cricket, went to labour for God in India. And he said, some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. He says, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Some were happy to be comfortable and complacent within the sound of a church bell, that life of ease. C.T. Studd wanted to run a rescue shop to warn men and women of the wrath of God. And he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Jim Elliot spent 3 years planning to be a missionary. It's always what he wanted to do from his earliest days. He always wanted to be a missionary, and it saddened him that there were people across the world who had never heard of Christ. And Jim offered himself in service for God, and he said, he is no fool. He is no fool who gives to God what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. And on the 2nd of January 1956, Jim Elliot, after those years of missionary training and preparation, went in service for God to the outer regions of Ecuador. However, 6 days later, Jim Elliot, having sacrificed his life to service and witness for God, at the age of 29 years of age, Jim Elliot, along with four of his missionary friends, were murdered and executed by the very people in Ecuador that he went to witness and reach for Christ. What a way to die, serving God to the very end. Only 29 years of age, and yet he offered himself willingly to the service of the Lord. For Jim Elliot and for those missionary friends, it cost them their lives. But he counted his life but loss that he might win others for Christ. He was no fool. Will you surrender your life to the Lord today? Rather than holding back, will you give your life in service and sacrifice for him? God's work needs workers. Will you rise to that challenge and see God's work advance? Whatever it is that's holding you back, give it up. Give your life to the Lord. Workers want it. How will you respond? Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we pray, O God, today that each one of us may present our lives a living sacrifice. Lord, just as these people in Nehemiah's day willingly offered themselves, we ask, O God, that each one, every child of God in this meeting house today, will willingly offer themselves in the service of the Master. Lord, for those who can do what they can, we just ask, O God, that lives will be surrendered, that lives and hearts will be touched. And Lord, that today we together will rise to the challenge that faces us in this day and generation and work for God and witness for Him. Lord, we pray that today You'll take us away out of the doldrums, take us away from that life of ease. And Lord, help us to be busy in the work of the Savior. Lord, help us, Lord, like Jim Elliot, like C.T. Studd, and so many, many others, to willingly offer our lives, to go for God, whatever the cost, to go not counting the cost. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless Thy word to our hearts. Speak on, we pray. Lead us on with Thyself. Bless throughout the rest of this day, especially in the gospel this evening. Bless our family service. We pray, Lord, that many will be gathered in, strangers. Lord, even those from around this local area, bring them in, O God, we pray. Give us a good day. Most of all, we pray that we might do business with Thee today. Hear and answer prayer. Lead us on with Thyself. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 467. Hymn number 467, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way while we do His good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. 467, the page 364, and we'll stand together as we sing those not remaining for the Lord.